But it's very common, and sometimes the youth, they use this verse and they talk about it. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, and I just want to read a couple of verses. I want to tell you something this morning. That great God, that powerful God, that King, He's thinking about you. He's got you on His mind all the time. And He's longing for a relationship with you. That's why He left the 99 to go after that one. But in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, the Scripture says this. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And I began to think about that verse this week, and I thought, God's got a plan. He's got a plan for every one of us. Now, sometimes people think, well, I can look at other people's lives, and I believe that God has a plan for them. But they may not believe that God's got a plan for me. But God does have a plan for you. And the Scripture says that it's a plan of peace and not of evil. The Scripture teaches us that His plan is complete because it has an expected end. Now, sometimes it's hard for us with a limited and a finite mind that has so many distractions coming against us to even imagine what God has in store. We read through the Scripture and we study it, and of course, Jeremiah was a prophet. These words were written almost 600 B.C., Then we go and we go to the book of Isaiah and we see what the prophet saw. We go to the book of Daniel and we begin to try to understand what the prophet saw. They're trying to tell us, but are we listening? Sometimes when they were to have a vision from God and God would begin to show them things that were to come, He would show it to them in pieces. This is why sometimes people don't understand the Word of God when they read about a Savior who is to come and be crucified, but also be King. We'll remind you, He's coming twice. I want to give you just a couple of things real quickly. Points to consider regarding God's plan for you. God had a plan from the very beginning, and there was a plan for a Savior. You see, go back to the beginning when He said, "Let us make man." A very short time, and there was a failure. Man went and he took of that forbidden fruit, and there was a curse. And the Scripture says when God drove them out from the garden that He made coats of skins for them. It was a picture and a type of without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. When I begin to look at it, the plan of a Savior is even back in those days, as I heard my dad preach before, he said during those times they were saved looking toward the cross. We're saved looking back at the cross. Because when they took of that forbidden fruit, I want to tell you that God saw a cross. When Cain slew Abel, God saw a cross. When David killed Uriah the Hittite, God saw a cross. When we go down through the pages of Scripture and we see the failure of man and the problems of mankind, I want to tell you that God saw a cross. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, when the prophet began to write and he told the story of Christ, that He would be bruised for us and He would be beaten for us and He would accept all of our sin upon Himself, and that God would look at Him. And He would be satisfied. See, God had the plan of a Savior. Sometimes when we look at the Scripture and we understand even the curse and what it was, can I tell you that God had a plan for peace? Sometimes people struggle through life and they don't understand what they need to do to survive or even to be able to have that peace. But that peace comes when the grace of God fills your soul, when you accept Him as your personal Savior. But sometimes people want the salvation and they want the security of heaven, but they don't come to the point that they just surrender to God and say, Lord, I'm going to give You my life. And I'm going to let You be my King. That's where the peace comes. The peace comes in surrender. And God said, you can have that peace. He said, after I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and He shall guide you and lead you into all things. And then He told him, He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives unto you. But what does the world do? It gives and it takes back. It judges and it ridicules and it criticizes. But the only one I've ever found that I can go to that accepts me just as I am, but He already knows everything about me, is the Lord. You see, God had a plan of a Savior. And as I sat there and I began to ponder the words of a song, even when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. They came by and they mocked Him, and He said, if they do these things in a green tree, what will they do in a dry? In other words, He said, if they crucify the Savior today with all that they've seen done, what are they going to do in 2017? Had a plan of a Savior, a plan of peace. But here's what I want us to understand. And I believe the time and the day is drawing near that God has a plan for you and I, eternity in heaven. You see, if there is a beginning, there is also an ending. And we know, and I think about it often as I look around. It's kind of like this. My wife got a birthday card from our insurance agent this week. Her birthday's coming up next Saturday. And the birthday card said, have you thought about life insurance? Now, folks, let's just be honest. We were not made. We were not engineered. It was not in God's plan that we stay here forever. But it was in His plan that we be with Him. You see, I know, He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace are not evil, to give you an expected end. Can I tell you that we were created as God's children to serve Him and to live with Him forever. Amen. You know, the secular world, they understand and they long for the word immortality. Well, folks, God's promised it to us. You see, you read in John 14 the very familiar words where Jesus spoke. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See, God has a plan. He's got us on His mind. No man knows the day, but there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to hear the Father say, son, go get your children. And He's going to come back, and I'm looking for Him to come back, and it might be in my lifetime, it might not, but I can assure you that I'm not going to be here forever. And you're not. See, this place that God has for us, it's a prepared place, it's a beautiful place, it's a dwelling place. It's a reuniting place. Yeah, I'm going to see my loved ones there. David said when he lost his son, said, I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him. And sometimes we get to the point in our lives, the truth is, we begin to look across and we begin to long for, because we realize we have more on that side than we have on this side. But I want you to understand, you're on God's mind and God loves you. The question is He on your mind? See, God wants you and to be a part of what He's prepared. I heard David Wilkerson one time speaking, and he made the comment. He said, God wanted children. We're His children. And I've also heard it said that a mother or a father are never happier than their least happy child. That's why he left the 99 to go look for that one. There's probably somebody here this morning that says, you mean God's really thinking about me? Yeah. I've heard people say, well, do you believe that I could really ever go to heaven? Sometimes that's a baited question. Let's answer it with a question. Do you want to go? I want to ask them to come and sing just one more song. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. Folks, it's not late. We're going to beat the Methodist as it is. But I want to tell you the most important thing you'll ever do when you go to the house of God is meet a Savior. Commit to Him your Lord in your life and let Him help you be the best you can possibly be. If you're here and you got anything on your heart you want to pray about, these altars are always open. But if you don't know Jesus, there are people here that would love to pray with you and help you find the peace that we're talking about as they sing.
In the beginning, God stood in the stillness, and He spoke these creative words. He said, let there be light, and let the heavens appear. And with His hands, He scooped out the canyons, and with His fingers, traced courses for the rivers, and He made the mountains stand tall and still. But then, a slight trace of sadness came into His eyes. As He made that small, lonely hill, then He said, let us make man in our own image and give him dominion over all. Walk together in the cool of the evening, and I will help him if he should fall. But I want him to love me because he really wants to, and to walk with me by His own will. Then a slight trace of sadness came back into His eyes as He looked toward that small, lonely, then late one evening, God came to the garden. He said, Adam, 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 where art thou? Oh, but the birds had hushed their singing. In the garden there was silence. You could sense it, for something had died. But God said, I love him, and I won't let him go. Then a shadow on that hillside appeared. For a man hung there dying, crying, I thirst. face from that small, lonely hill. Now I thank God for His rivers, and I thank Him for His mountains and His heaven. How my heart always will. But when I walk into that city where the angels all praise Him, I'm gonna thank Him for that small, lonely hill. Yes, I thank God for Golgotha's hill.